Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Monday, May 17th, 2021. Good morning. It's 3 minutes after the hour. Perhaps you celebrated the Solemnity of the Ascension on Thursday or yesterday in your diocese. Either way, the focus is on hope. We're going to unpack that hope with Father Burke Masters coming up in just a few minutes here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Ascension marks that first time human flesh enters into heaven. That's hope. The Catechism speaks of hope. We'll talk about that and also prepare to receive the Holy Spirit as we work towards Pentecost Sunday. Also, when you pray, does your prayer petition sometimes feel like you're giving God a to-do list? Later on in this hour of Morning Air, yes, God wants our needs and wants in prayer, but we'll give you some tips on how to take those prayers of petition to Him with a humble heart. We'll focus on that. Plus, Glenn's got a fresh story corner on this Monday morning that we begin in prayer. We invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 5 minutes after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Let's unpack some hope first thing this morning with Father Burke Masters, who is the Secretary for Christian Formation and the Director of the Office of Adult Formation in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. How are you, Father? Good morning.
Good morning, John. I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing well. A little more joy-filled today because for the first time in 16 months in our diocese, even though we still have to wear masks, all the ropes are off. All the pews are open. There were more people back in church for the vigil mass on Saturday afternoon. It was awesome as we just came together as a community. It was almost electric. You could feel it.
Yeah, we're opening up in our diocese as well. And I can't wait for that day when, you know, the church is full as it once was. And, I think people just are having that innate desire to come back to, right, to worship God and to be with the community. So it's a great sign of things to come.
Boy, there's a start of a conversation about hope, right? The Catechism speaks of hope. The Ascension marks the first time human flesh enters heaven. That should give hope to all of us this morning, Father.
Yeah, I was struck as I celebrated Mass yesterday, even in the collect, the opening prayer, you know, where the head has gone before in glory, the body is called to follow in hope. So Jesus, you know, is in the mystical body of Christ. Jesus is our head, and we are the members of that body. And, you know, when I heard that in seminary the first time, it's the first time human flesh has entered heaven, you know, because prior to that, all the souls, the faithful souls, were waiting for, you know, that redemption. And so Jesus opens the gates of heaven for all of us. And now our hope is that, you know, that, and we say in our creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body, you know, that body and soul, we're not dualists where we believe our body is bad and our soul is good. But we believe that, you know, our bodies have dignity and that one day our resurrected body and soul will be with the Lord in heaven, and what hope that is. And so it's an important call for all of us to stay connected to the vine, you know, to stay connected to the church, and stay connected to the body, this mystical body of Christ, so that we can follow the Lord. And that's His goal. His goal was to return to the Father all that was given to Him, and that includes you and I.
What do you say to someone, Father, who doesn't see what they're looking for? How do you help them make the faith and hope connection?
Hmm. Yeah, that's always a challenge, especially today when, you know, we want to, you know, think that faith and science don't go together, and if I can't see it, if I can't prove it, then I'm not going to believe it. We have to have empirical evidence. I look to a few things. I look to, one, my own human experience to you know, when I encountered the Lord in high school, especially in the Eucharist, there's something in my heart that changed. So I felt more peace. I felt more joy. I felt the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So that's in my own human experience. But then we have, you know, the scriptures, which, you know, someone may say, well, I don't believe in the scriptures. But I think if you start to look at scripture and see, look at the Old Testament and all of the prophecies and how they were fulfilled in the person of Christ, you start to see, wow, this isn't just happenstance, that there is a direct connection between Jesus as the Christ, or the Messiah, the Anointed One, and all the things that the Old Testament was pointing towards. And so if you look at the scriptures and see, wow, you know, Jesus, what God promised in the Old Testament, he fulfilled. And then you start to see what Jesus says as the Word of God. So this is an important thing, too, that Jesus as the Word of God, what he says happens. So he's the most trustworthy person in the history of the world. From the beginning of time and creation, you know, it says God spoke and the world was created, meaning, and Jesus is the second person in the Trinity, so God's Word is Jesus. So God speaks and the world is created. And then you see Jesus in the New Testament, when he speaks, things happen. If he says, you're healed, people are healed. If he says, you know, to the paralytic, get up and walk, he's able to get up and walk. If he says, this is my body and this is my blood, it's his body and his blood. And so that's been, for me, you know, I'm kind of a scientist by nature. I studied math and science, and I was one of those people who needed proof. But the Lord has shown me in ways the empirical evidence that I needed, but also He's shown me in experience that, you know, this is true, and I'm willing to give my life for it.
And to go back to the beginning of our conversation about hope, Father Burke, the ascension marking the first time that human flesh enters heaven, Jesus is human. He brings our humanity to the Trinity. So heaven and earth are closer than they ever were, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I believe there's just a thin veil between heaven and earth. And we had a beautiful Be Healed retreat this weekend for men here in our diocese, based on Dr. Bob Schutt's book, Be Healed. And one of the questions one of the men brought up was, it was about human flesh. Like, sometimes he said, I feel like my flesh is bad and my soul is good, you know, because we have, so we talked about, you know, original purity of Adam and Eve, the fall of man, and then we talked about concupiscence, which is that movement in our hearts towards sin, since original sin happened. But we believe as Catholics that our bodies are good. There's a dignity in our bodies. And what the Lord desires is, you know, a return to health, body, mind, and soul. That's what healing is. It's a returning to health. And so we may have a tendency towards sin, but our bodies are good. And so, you know, Jesus says that his body is the new temple, and you'll be able to worship in spirit and truth wherever he is. He's the one we're looking for. And then he gives dignity to our own bodies that, you know, we don't truly understand, you know, what the mystical body is going to look like. You know, some people didn't recognize Jesus after he rose from the dead. But we do know that our bodies have dignity and to treat them as such. So it makes us think, what am I ingesting into my body? What am I eating? What am I listening to? What am I watching? All of those things.
You talk about the dignity in our bodies. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit as we prepare to receive the Holy Spirit this Sunday at Pentecost.
Yeah, what a beautiful week. Again, this weekend at the retreat, somebody said, I've never heard so much about the Holy Spirit in my life. You know, the Holy Spirit's often a forgotten part of the Trinity. one of the things that we do in these retreats that Dr. Schutz has done, and I remember when I first saw it, I think, oh, this is dumb, I thought, but it became one of the most memorable parts of the retreat. So he has three people, he calls it human sculpting, and he has three people come up and image the Holy Trinity. You know, so you have somebody playing the Father, somebody the Son, somebody the Holy Spirit, and they form this three-person, kind of what we would call like a group embrace, you know, arms intertwined, and I thought, you know, I like my own personal space, so I was happy not being a part of it.
Yeah.
But then, as we started to just watch it, and then somebody said, "I'd like to be in there," and so the person was invited to be inside that circle of love. Bishop Barron, I remember saying that, you know, God is the lover, Jesus is the beloved, and the Holy Spirit is the love between the two. And this person went in, and, you know, as they reflected on it later, they said, "I just felt so safe and secure in that embrace of the Holy Trinity." Well, later on, you know, they said, you know, this is what prayer is like. And prayer can happen anytime, anywhere, that our goal is to abide. You know, Jesus says, "Remain in me, abide in me, just as the Father and I are one. Our desire is that you and I be one." And so that it's visio divina. You know, we call it lectio divina is the sacred reading of the text. When we see art, or when we see this, like this human sculpting, we see a beautiful movie, it can raise our minds and hearts to God. Mm-hmm. So what happened with me now is that when I pray, I imagine myself in that embrace of the Holy Trinity. When I'm driving down the street, or if I'm in a difficult situation, I can call to mind, okay, I want to remain in the Lord. I want to stay in that embrace, despite having to do something very challenging, very difficult. And it brings me peace. And so I say all that to say that the Holy Spirit is a who lives in us through our baptism. He's the animating force in our lives. And so we celebrated the Ascension. We celebrated it yesterday, some diocese, you know, last Thursday, that it isn't Jesus going away from us, but it's, you know, Jesus says, "If I don't go, you won't receive my Holy Spirit, our Holy Spirit, you know, the Father and the Son. And you're going to want that Holy Spirit, because you're going to be able to do amazing things like healing people and raising people up from the dead. It's not us who's doing it, but it's God working through us." And so maybe we spend this week to prepare our hearts to, you know, to let the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that's in us already, to be animated, to come alive in ways that maybe they never have before.
As we prepare for the reception of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, we'll share your Holy Spirit moments, and we've all had them in our lives when we have really felt and experienced the animating force of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What about for you? When did that happen to you, those Holy Spirit moments? 888-914-9149, our conversation this morning with Father Burke Masters from the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. What are those times that the Holy Spirit animated you, was the animating force in your life? The Holy Spirit brought you to a location, a situation, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit answered your prayers, gave you that wisdom that you absolutely needed at the moment you needed it. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Going back to that exercise, that visio, you talked about the visio divina, and that exercise that you did where three people formed the Holy Trinity, and it helped you focus in prayer. Can you give us some more tips, Father Burke, in having that focus on a more consistent basis? Because sometimes, and listen, I find myself in this boat from time to time where it's not that you don't feel like praying, you want to pray, but your mind isn't in it 100%.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the challenges of prayer is, like, who am I praying to? You know, I want to imagine God, but I don't know what God looks like. And I think many of us, you know, we've seen pictures or movies that portray Jesus. You know, it might be The Chosen now, or it might be The Passion of the Christ. It might be your favorite picture somewhere. And so we can picture Jesus in some way, but God is pure spirit, and as is the Holy Spirit, and so sometimes it's hard to, you know, when you're talking to your best friend, you see them, you can touch them. It's very easy to focus on them, but prayer can be more difficult. So that's why this image, like when I go to adoration now, you know, I see Jesus there in the Blessed Sacrament, and you know, I forget where I heard it, but I love the phrase. It says, "Where you get one of the Holy Trinity, you get all three." You know, and that's that image of the Visio Divina.
Sure,
I see the Blessed Sacrament, but I know that the Holy Spirit and God the Father are always together with the Lord, and so I imagine myself in that embrace and adoration. And again, no matter what I'm doing, and it takes, you know, a conscious awareness. You know, St. Paul says to pray unceasingly. You can say, mm-hmm. Well, how do you do that? But that's where this can come in. Like, okay, Lord. And we were teaching the men this weekend, you know, when you're struggling, when you're tempted, come Holy Spirit. That simple three-word prayer that the Holy Spirit runs to us when we, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit's in us, but, you know, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid whenever we call upon the Holy Spirit. So so I think it's just trying to become more aware of God's presence inside of us and all around us by calling on that Holy Spirit. And continuing, you know, when you think about the prayers at Mass, many of the prayers are directed to God the Father.
Right.
And so to listen to those prayers, like the Eucharistic prayer, listen to the preface, the collect, the opening prayer, and let it help you focus on those different persons of the Holy Trinity. So that's helped me tremendously to become just more aware of the three persons of the Trinity and to try to pray unceasingly.
Talking about the Holy Spirit as we prepare for Pentecost this morning with Father Burke Masters from the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and sharing your Holy Spirit moments at 888-914-9149. Have you found in your experience, Father Burke, that when you pray that very simple but powerful prayer, come, O most Holy Spirit, come, those prayers get answered lightning fast, at least they have for me?
I do, yeah. Sometimes almost as the words are coming out.
Exactly, yes.
The prayer is answered. But then there's times when maybe it seems like the prayer wasn't answered, but oftentimes when I reflect on it, it's like, okay, God was answering the prayer, but the answer was, nope, that isn't what I want for you. I want something else, you know? And so to trust that God loves you so much and he has this great plan for your life that when he answers prayers, it's going to be, you know, according to his will. And I always say, this was very helpful when I heard it, that the purpose of prayer is not to change God's mind, but it's to align our will with the will of the Father, who is love. You know, and so that's why when Jesus says, remain in me and you'll bear much fruit, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, it will be given to you. The more we pray, the more we align our will with the will of the Father. You know, once our will is aligned with that of the Father, like Jesus's was, the Father can't wait to answer that prayer because he knows what's best for us, you know. So it's that remain in me that we've been hearing about for the last couple of weeks in John, that Visio Divina of the Trinity, just it makes so much sense. And so we were trying to help the men this weekend to point to those times in our lives when we were in that Trinitarian embrace or when we were connected to the vine, and then also to recognize those times when, through self-reliance, we removed ourselves from the embrace and we removed ourselves from the vine, and to pay attention to what that felt like, you know?
Right.
That when we remove ourselves from the vine, when we sin seriously, you know, there's isolation, there's loneliness, there's separation. But when we're living in God's grace, when we're, you know, when we're praying, when we're participating in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and reconciliation, you just know that I'm connected. I'm living in the grace of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity, and it's joy.
Father Burke Masters with us talking about those Holy Spirit moments. Maureen listening in Fort Lauderdale to Relevant Radio 1080. Maureen, what was that Holy Spirit moment for you? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you and Father for taking my call. In 1993, when I was a younger person and single, which I still am, I used to pray, because I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Mass every week, that I would have someone to go to Mass with, e.g. a husband, and we'd raise a family. And it turned out I got a phone call from a friend of mine. She and her husband had come from England. He was a mentor of mine. He was only 53 years old in 1993, and they had four children. The eldest was, I believe, 20 at the time, and he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And she asked, because she was Anglican, but they had baptized all the children and raised them Catholic, except that he wasn't going to church, so she was taking them to the Anglican church, for Episcopal church. But in a nutshell, I wound up going to Mass with my friends from England, and he lived for about 6 months, but he had to have a huge operation. And the Sunday we went back, what made me think of it, is Pentecost Sunday, and everything was red in the church, the vestments, the altar decor, the flowers, everything. And it was such a moving experience. The Holy Spirit was definitely there.
Yeah.
And he came back to the church and he went to confession. But the first thing I did was go to confession. I said, I'm not worthy. We worked with some living saints, in my opinion. And I
sure
how she chose me.
I love how you just say we're working with some living saints and how the Holy Spirit often chooses us. How do we fine tune our voice? We have a couple of moments remaining, Father Burke. How do we fine tune the reception of that voice of the Holy Spirit with the message that he's giving to us and what he wants us to do?
Yeah, a couple of tips would be to read the Gospels, especially to see what Jesus says and does in such situations. And then I always try to pay attention to that, I call it my inner voice, or that,
right.
And you start to hear, okay, that sounds much like what Jesus would be saying in situations. And then also that the examine prayer is so important. I think we've all had the experience where you felt this call to do something, like, you know, call this person or go serve here, whatever it is. When we do it, there's just like this confirmation, affirmation, like, yes, that was from the Lord.
Right.
There's also been times when I haven't listened to that voice, and I know later I've missed an opportunity. And so I think God teaches us how to recognize that voice of the Spirit within us that is constantly prompting us.
Powerful prayer, come, O most Holy Spirit, come. Father Burke Masters, member of our faith family here on Relevant Radio, the Secretary for Christian Formation and the Director of the Office of Adult Formation in the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. We'll be praying for you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you, likewise. God bless everyone.
Prayers of petition. Not giving God a to-do list. We'll explain coming up in the next half hour after we hear today's gospel reading from the 16th chapter of John on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
John chapter 16, verses 29 through 33. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly, and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything, and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived, when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Relevant Radio is a joyful Catholic apostolate.
Relevant Radio contributor, Monsignor James Shea.
I was talking to one couple, and they were saying, our whole family's lives have been changed because of Relevant Radio. We listen, and we're able to get answers to some of the deepest questions of life. We're able to get perspective on the way that we should be thinking about the things that are happening in the world, and it all happens in a way which gives us hope.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
In today's Gospel from John chapter 16, Jesus is very upfront with his apostles, and we can imagine how it must have frightened them. Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, and chapter 16 is part of a long speech of Jesus at the Last Supper. In today's Gospel, he predicts that his apostles will abandon him in his hour of need and be scattered. But then he tells them he won't be alone because God the Father will be with him. And he continues with these words, I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Did you hear that? Jesus told them that they would have peace even in the midst of the troubles of life and of the world. How? Well, very simply, Jesus said that he would not be alone even when everyone abandoned him. He would not be alone because he always lived in union with his heavenly Father, and he knew the infinite love of the Father for him. It was a love that was stronger than death, something that would be shown in his resurrection from the dead. This is part of our own Easter hope, and the peace that can be there for us even in the midst of all sorts of troubles. We are never alone. Jesus is with us. And because we are baptized children of his heavenly Father, the Father is with us too. And also the Holy Spirit, who is as close to us as our breath. Holding fast to this reality, we can, deep down, be at peace, even if there is a lot of surface turbulence in our lives.
Listen to more of Father James Kubicki's daily reflections by downloading the free Relevant Radio app. Here's another way to support Relevant Radio financially. Have a traditional IRA or Roth IRA? Qualifying charitable distributions from traditional IRA or Roth IRA accounts can be excluded from gross income. This is great news if you need to take a required minimum distribution but don't want to add to your taxable income for the year. If you own an IRA and are 70 and a half or older, you can make a tax-free transfer to Relevant Radio.
Go to relevantradio.com and click on the support tab.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Good morning, 29 before. It's John and Glenn on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up in this half hour. When you pray, do you feel at times that your prayer petitions sometimes feel like you're giving God a to-do list? Well, right now, let's talk about prayer. And yes, God wants our needs and wants in prayer, but we're going to give you some tips on how to take those prayer petitions to him with a humble heart. Sister Brittany Harrison is going to help us with that. She is the social media coordinator for the St. Joseph Province of the Salesian Sisters. Sister B, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, John, and good morning, Glenn. I hope you guys are doing okay. And I just want to preface this by saying I'm not the expert on humility in prayer, but I do know that in my life, I've really gone on a journey of becoming more honest with God in prayer.
Explain that.
Well, many listeners may remember, and for those who don't know, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. I wasn't raised Catholic or really even very Christian. Like, we didn't have a lot of traditions of any religion in my family. And when I first started to pray, I was given a prayer book. And prayer books are a great resource. You know, they list different styles of prayers that are written in different formats. And those who may remember the old Baltimore Catechism, there's several styles of prayer, and there's the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. And the styles of prayers are A, adoration, where we adore God and praise him for how amazing and wonderful he is. There's C, contrition, where we express sorrow for our sins and ask God's forgiveness. There's T, there's thanksgiving, where we're grateful for his blessings. We have a heart that's just overflowing with appreciation. And then there's S, supplication or petition. And prayer books are a really good resource, but they're other people's words to try to express what we're feeling in one of those categories, or to try to give some kind of structure to our style of prayer. It's a good starting point. But I found in my beginning faith journey that a lot of the time when I was speaking to God, I was just really rattling off a list of like, I need this, I need help with that, I'm mad about this, you know, this person's stupid, could you smite them? You know, like, you know, giving God this like, here, God, this is what you should do today. Here's right. my agenda. And with time and growing up and maturity, I hope, I realized that God isn't my nanny or personal assistant. He's not some kind of spiritual slot machine, you know, that I insert five prayers into and pull the handle and hope that I, you know, win the jackpot. But he is someone who loves me and that I have a relationship with and who has been patiently waiting for me to want to have a more dynamic relationship with. And so over time, prayer started to become for me more of an experience of sharing my heart and what's going on. And when you share your heart with somebody, which I'm sure you know, John and Glenn, and like everybody listening, when you have that really good friend or, you know, maybe even your spouse or whoever, when you share your heart, everything just comes out. You know, the things you're grateful for, the things you're struggling with, the things that you hope for, the things that you think are just one, you just like, you pour out whatever is on your heart and it becomes a conversation of the heart and you connect on that level. Really, really beautiful prayer. The kind of prayer that I think God longs for from all of us is that kind of prayer from the heart where we're just pouring out what is foremost on our mind and soul. And some days those things are super positive and we're just feeling so grateful. And other days it might be like really dark and painful, but God is big enough that he can handle all of that because he is love. And so those days where you're upset and angry, I think it's perfectly okay to tell God you're angry and even to tell God you're angry with him and you don't understand what on earth he's doing. And like, please explain to me why this is happening, you know, help me to understand.
Sure.
Because if we go to the Old Testament, there's the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a prayer book. It, you know, it's attributed to King David. We think there's some other parts that were written by others. But it's a collection of different ways of conversing with God, different emotions and sentiments. And everything is in the Psalms. You've got joy, you've got jubilation, you've got happiness, you've got sorrow, you've got anger, you know. And Jesus actually quotes the Psalms when he's on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So if Jesus can do that, and he's our model of relationship with God, why are we afraid to be honest with God in prayer? It's right. Something I think God loves because honesty is vulnerability, and vulnerability opens us to grace. And as long as we leave that space in prayer for God to respond, not just blah, 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 and then we like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, get up and run away. You know, give God a few minutes there, you know?
That's true. Sister B is with us, Sister Brittany Harrison, this morning, and we're talking about prayer and prayers of petition. What are your prayers of petition like? How have you learned to have that two-way conversation with God? 888-914-9149. And that's a challenge, 888-914-9149, to have that two-way conversation with God. As we talk about prayers of petition, we want to hear how you do your prayers of petition and also how you listen to God. And that's the next question, Sister B, is that, you know, we can present everything to God in our prayers of petition, but when do you stop talking to listen?
For me, I stop talking. I've learned to stop talking when I feel my emotion getting really, really strong, because sometimes our anger or pain or joy or whatever it becomes so strong that it's beyond words. You know, words are symbols that represent our experience. Like, and that's why it's so hard sometimes to understand each other, because words can have different meanings for one another.
Mm-hmm.
But God always understands us perfectly. No matter how inarticulate we may feel, he knows us, so he understands what we're trying to say. And so I find in my prayer life, after I've, you know, presented what I'm saying, or I'm reaching this like apex of like, rah, you know, I just pull myself back for a second and say, okay, so what do you think about all that? You know, or I've given it all to you. Like, this is exactly where I'm at. I just need you to hold me for a moment. Or I just need your reassurance. And, you know, sometimes I'll feel something. You know, I may feel a sense of comfort or warmth or consolation, or a memory may suddenly come to mind that I didn't expect, that reminds me of something that gives me courage or whatever. Or sometimes nothing may happen, and even nothing is okay. You know, nothing doesn't mean we're not praying well. It means that God is responding to us in a way that may not be what we call in the spiritual life sensible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't sensate it. We can't put our finger on it. But he's still acting. And giving God even a minute or two when we're done misstating our case, you know, is important, because it creates a space in our heart for the Holy Spirit to act. Because in scripture, it also says, you know, God is not in the whirlwind. He's not in the earthquake. But he's the still, small voice. And so when we give the space for that still, small voice, it calms us down, and it also gives grace a moment to enter. Can God still act if we just keep going on our tirade, of course? You know, but prayer is supposed to be a conversation, not a monologue. So if we don't make those intentional moments of just giving God space to act,
right,
that we forget that we're in a conversation. You know, we just treat God like someone who has to be won over by spiritual theatrics and recitations of certain numbers of prayer. You know, and God, I'm sure, sometimes finds us very entertaining. But
right,
in a relationship, you know, if I just called you, John, and said, okay, here's my list of things for the day, and I know you're a good guy, so I'm going to give you a $5 tip, and I'll just wait for you to do all the stuff I ask you to do. You'd be like, Sister B, like, you know, how are you actually doing? Like, why don't you ask me how I'm doing?
Right,
you
know, right, exactly, yeah.
Reciprocity. And we forget that sometimes.
We
forget that God is a being who wants relationship. Not just prayer said at him, but prayer as an encounter with him.
With him, that conversation.
Yeah, and those answers to prayers may sometimes come through other people, something mm-hmm. they say to us, or a circumstance that happens, where it may seem like God didn't hear us whatsoever. But if we look at the example of the wedding feast at Cana, which I think is one of the most beautiful examples of the prayer of supplication or petition.
Right.
We're very familiar with the story.
Want more wine.
Jesus at a wedding party. Yeah, the wine runs out. Mary's like, we got to fix this, because she's a mom. She goes to the person who she knows can solve the problem, Jesus, her son, who's, you know, divine person. She tells him, son, they have no more wine. And it's almost like he tries to test her, but I think it was as a witness for us, because he says, well, woman, what is that to me? And I think she probably gave him the mom look, which, you know, we all are familiar with.
Yep.
And then she turned to the people around and said, do whatever he tells you. And she just left it in his hands. And sometimes we feel like God doesn't respond the way we want. Like, you know, Brittany, what is this to me? And I just give Jesus the look like, I know you're going to deal with it for me and help me figure it out. And then I just leave it in his hand. And we can be that way. Like, Mary was not worried about the fact that she didn't get Jesus, you know, hugging her in that moment going, oh, yeah, mom, right away. I'm totally on that. You know,
mm-hmm.
He gave her a moment of waiting. And sometimes that waiting is important also for our spiritual growth, because things happen in our lives that God sometimes allows for our growth, or as a witness to others, or for some greater plan, because he can see the big universal picture that stretches through all time. I just see what's right now and what I think may happen.
Sure,
and what I feel happened in the past. And so that if the trust underlies the relationship, even if we don't feel anything when we pray, if we can trust that the prayer is heard by someone who loves us infinitely, we can be assured that the prayer is never wasted.
Absolutely. Sister Brittany Harrison is with us. Yeah, Sister Brittany Harrison is with us this morning. And we're talking about those prayers of petition that you and I pray all the time, our conversation with God, how prayer becomes a conversation with God. And we're curious how you have made prayer more of that two-way conversation with God. How have you done that in your life, especially with the prayers of petition, to not only ask Him, but also to listen for His response and to watch and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see the response? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. 914-9149. What happens, and we've all been there, and we recover, I think, because of the Holy Spirit, but when you don't get the miracle or the answer that you want?
That's a hard one. And I think we've all been there. You know, someone we love and care about who's very, very sick, and, you know, we pray for a miracle for their healing, but we don't get what we expect. This is the situation that makes or breaks people having faith in God.
Is that, though, a gift because it makes your prayer a little more honest and raw?
Yeah, it does. You know, it's a moment where you can open yourself to grace and to acknowledging the fact that you are not God, which in a way can be a relief, because if we are God, we have a lot of responsibility to be in charge of everything. And we can recognize that God's view, God's wisdom is greater and more infinite than ours, and that even the sufferings that come, even the struggles that come, even the miracles we want but don't get, these are moments in which God is inviting us to step out into the deep, to follow Him in a way we may not expect, to know that He is with that person, He is with that situation. That Jesus on the cross wasn't just about taking upon Himself all the sin, but also all the suffering, and that He knows exactly what this suffering is. And He, in that moment on the cross, suffered with, in that eternal moment, the experience the person is having now. And so when we don't necessarily get what we pray for, we will get an answer, and we will get something that is better for us, better for the other person and the reality. But again, if we don't have that trust and we're just handing God like a laundry list the stuff we want, and we walk away and we don't give that space for God to breathe into us His life, His Holy Spirit as His response, we're not going to have the grace to handle whatever the situation is.
To use those gifts of graces to handle what the situation is. We have about a minute or so remaining, but also what you're talking about is really the true humility that comes in that honesty of prayer.
Yeah, like when you're humble, when you're honest in prayer, like, God, I'm upset, this is hard, I'm scared, but I acknowledge I'm not God and I need You, and I'm grateful that You are God and that You love me.
Right.
That kind of relationship gives you the strength to deal with whatever comes. And it's not easy and it doesn't always feel good, but in the end, the faithfulness of God is always there. He is never unfaithful. And so a prayer is never wasted, no matter how inarticulate we feel or how ungraceful we ourselves may feel. God's love always makes up for whatever we lack. And so we don't need to be afraid that we don't pray the right way, as
Absolutely.
Long as we pray from the heart.
Sister Brittany Harrison this morning with some tips of taking those prayers of petition to God with a humble heart. Sister B is the social media coordinator of the St. Joseph Province of the Salesian Sisters. Sister B, it's good to have your voice back on Relevant Radio. Thanks and God bless.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
13 before the hour, Glenn's got a fresh story corner, and it's a homily highlights doubleheader coming up next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hi, this is Patrick Madrid. Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly Memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million Memorares. Add your Memorare for life at relevantradio.com.
Hi, this is Bishop Ron Hicks of the Diocese of Joliet in Illinois. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to Thy protection, implored Thy help, or sought Thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I flee to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
A proud mission partner of Relevant Radio. Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the Ignatian Prayer Series, can now train you and others electronically to become facilitators and bring the Ignatian way of prayer to your parish. Come to know and love Jesus Christ like never before and help others do the same. Don't pass up the opportunity to join this work of the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com and click on Digital Training.
Underwriting by John Paul the Great Catholic University. John Paul the Great Catholic University in Southern California is dedicated to impacting culture for Christ through creative arts and business innovation. Cultivate your God-given talents in a supportive, Christ-centered community as you train to become a filmmaker, writer, actor, entrepreneur, animator, illustrator, or game designer. Where will your JP Catholic education take you? Explore all our programs and receive a full application fee waiver at jpcatholic.edu/radio.
At the intersection of faith and culture.
You just heard a lady, she just realized how beautiful and drawing the Catholic faith is. And she listens, get this, she listens 3 hours in the morning when we're live, and then she listens to the 3 hours all over again in the evening, which blows my mind. I love that.
The Patrick Madrid Show.
All I ask for is 3 hours of your life. That's all.
8 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I'm only asking you for 3 hours out of your life. That's not too much to ask, is it?
Insight into Sunday's readings and gospel, inspiration for today and beyond. Now, homily highlights on Morning Air.
It's a homily highlights doubleheader here at 10 minutes before the hour, because in many dioceses you celebrated the Solemnity of the Ascension, and we were with the apostles on the Mount of Olives for the rest, the seventh Sunday of Easter, and we've got homily highlights for both. Let's start with the Solemnity of the Ascension, where Cardinal Blaise Supich at Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago reminds us that Jesus is with us in every aspect of our lives.
Yesterday, when I had the joy of ordaining 9 new priests for the Archdiocese, yes, 9, what a great gift it is, and I ask that you pray for the new priest. I mentioned that the Feast of the Ascension is really a celebration of ambiguity in life. For Jesus is absent, and yet he's present to these disciples. He goes up to heaven, and yet he's a part of the work that they do in the world. We live with that kind of ambiguity in our life on a day-to-day basis, where things that we aspire to are yet not complete, and so we easily become anxious. Isn't that the feeling we have in these days, where we know the pandemic will end, and we see the light at the end of the tunnel, and yet at the same time, it's still with us. And so it causes that tension of living in the in-between of life. And the Lord tells us not to become anxious or worrisome, but rather that he gives us a spirit that allows us to do some magnificent, extraordinary things. Just listen to this gospel. We will speak new languages. We will handle snakes. And we will lay our hands on people and they will be cured. And so today, as we live in the in-betweens of life, let's not be anxious, but hopeful, because the Lord is with us. Yes, he's absent, but he's even more present than he was before. His Spirit is with us, strengthening us to learn other languages, to handle the difficulties, to handle those snakes, but also to bring healing into the world, the healing that he brought in his time, so that humanity can know him and be willing to live in this in-between time, realizing that, as we said in the opening prayer, where he has gone, that is our hope of where we too will go.
Cardinal Blaise Supich at Holy Name Cathedral with that homily highlight for those of you who celebrated the Ascension yesterday. For the seventh Sunday of Easter, the first letter of John tells us that we know that we remain in him and he in us because he has given us the Holy Spirit. And then in John's Gospel, that wonderful prayer of Jesus, keep them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one, just as we are one. What an incredible prayer for us. Father James Price of the Passionist Fathers in New York City. Jesus wants to make us one in communion with him and his Father.
Jesus' prayer for us is that we be one as he and the Father are one, meaning our goal is communion with God. And that communion is allowing ourselves to truly believe what Jesus said today, that what he did for the disciples, so he does for us. This is Jesus' prayer for us. He's praying for us who wants to share with us what he has with the Father, communion. So our response to Jesus' desire for us is our prayer to him. Keep us, O Lord, and protect us. Guard us and keep us from the evil one, uniting us to the Father, filling us with your presence, and reminding us that where you have gone, we hope to follow, but only with your prayer that our focus will be on you and you alone.
So the challenge for you and me is to let the world know that we're Catholic. Let the world know that we are people of faith. Let the world know about God. And that's the challenge that John gave us and has given those early disciples, and he's given you and me today, Bishop David Zubik at St. Paul's Cathedral in Pittsburgh.
And it seems to me, my sisters and brothers, that if we're going to take this Easter season seriously, but more importantly, if we're going to take our faith seriously, then we need to tap into those people who have so impressed us to help us not only to see how real God is, but what an awesome responsibility we have to pass on our experience to God through other people.
Bishop David Zubik in the Diocese of Pittsburgh at 10:15 Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. It has been a recurring theme today where St. Paul tells us to pray always. And Cardinal Dolan says, just like the apostles, you and I need to pray always.
When we are in similar situations of fear and confusion and anxiety and disappointment, and aren't we often in that situation? There's no better thing to do than pray. That prayer has always got to be patient, persistent, and persevering. So what did they do? They prayed. How did they do it? They prayed with patience, persistence, and perseverance. With whom did they do it? They did it with one another. They tell us that these apostles went to the upper room and locked the doors, sort of a retreat, okay? See, they had learned from the Master that there's a lot of strength in sticking together. There's a lot of strength in nurturing our faith and our hope and our charity and our prayer if we do it together. Look, brothers, in this dangerous, tough moment, we need all the help we can get. And there's nobody better to have on our side than Mary, the mother of Jesus. Wasn't she there at Bethlehem? So what did they do? Prayed. How did they pray? With patience, persistence, and perseverance. With whom did they pray? With one another and with our Blessed Mother. And for what did they pray? Last question. For what did they pray? Actually, they didn't pray for something. They prayed for someone. They prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They didn't quite understand who this Spirit was. Jesus had told them to expect him and to ask for him, but they were still a little foggy about who this Holy Spirit was, but they didn't care. They said, hey, the Lord told us to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask. And they did. Come, Holy Spirit. Three simple words. Come, Holy Spirit, which I suggest to you is one of the best prayers we can say. Come, Holy Spirit. There you got it. This great Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost, what they do, pray. How'd they do it? Patiently, perseveringly, and persistently. With whom did they do it? One another and our Blessed Mother. And for what did they pray? The gift of the Holy Spirit.
Come, O most Holy Spirit, come, as we hear today's Glenn Story Corner.
Our
Our story today is called The Tracks We Leave by Joseph Mazzella. When I was a boy, I used to love walking in the woods around my home. My mom warned me several times never to travel so far that I'd lose sight of the house, but being a typical boy, however, I soon found myself hiking further and further away, testing just how far I could go into the woods without getting lost. After losing my way once for 2 hours, though, I decided I had a better way. I better leave a trail the next time I went for a walk. The very next day, I decided to try it. I walked into the woods till the house was out of sight. Then I broke a small branch on a young tree to mark my place. I wandered further in and broke another limb, then another. In a few spots where there were no limbs small enough, I snapped the heads off daisies and Queen Anne's lace that were growing where the sunlight broke through the trees. After a while, I finally got tired and decided to head back. Turning around, I easily found my tracks, but instead of being proud, I felt sad. I could see the trail of destruction that I had left in the woods going on and on. Looking at the broken limbs and dead flowers, I wondered if God was disappointed in me, and I vowed never to do that again. Instead, I started to cherish my times alone in the woods with God. I'd sit by the streams and listen to them sing. I'd watch the birds and squirrels. I'd bend down to smell the flowers and even buried an acorn or two, hoping one day an oak tree might grow. There's an old Native American saying that goes, "We will be known forever by the tracks we leave." As I've grown older and wiser, I have done my best to never leave a trail of destruction in my life as I did in the woods that day. I have instead strived to leave tracks of love, kindness, goodness, and compassion, and I've strived to show others they can do the same. May you always leave tracks of joy as you follow your own trail of love to God. From Matthew 5, 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven."
Glenn's Story Corner podcast on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. And stand by for Patrick Madrid coming up next. It's a minute before the hour now here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.